Come sit with us at Berean Bible Fellowship. We're about to listen to Pastor Bruce David Bell as the Lord speaks through the truth of His Word. Come sit with us.
In Proverbs chapter 20, verse 6, the writer of that proverb asks a question. A question that I am sure that many of us have also asked ourselves at one time or another. And the question is this. Many people proclaim their goodness and their unfailing love. But who can find a truly faithful and a trustworthy man or woman? As many of us well know from our own experiences, love and loyalty, faithfulness and devotion are difficult to find in people today. But as important as these things are in our lives, these things are even more important in our relationship with the Lord. And devotion to Him is so important, it's so critical, that in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 61, after his prayer to the Lord at the dedication of the temple in Jerusalem, King Solomon turned to the people and he addressed them. And he said this to them, "Let your heart be completely devoted to the Lord our God, to walk in his statutes and to keep his commandments." Good advice. It's good advice for us. Our God values devotion to him above all else. In fact, he demands it. As he said in Deuteronomy 6, verse 5, we are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart and with all of our soul and with all of our might. Well, that's pretty clear, isn't it? We're not to place anyone or anything above him. But it seems that that command has always been a problem for the people of God. Yes, even among those of us who belong to Jesus Christ. Even though we're told in 2 Chronicles chapter 16 that God is looking for those who are completely devoted to him. But as Jesus pointed out in Matthew chapter 10, that kind of devotion comes with a price. Because he said that can cause division among those that we know and among those that we love. And he said many of them may even look at us as their enemies because of our devotion, because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. Devotion to Jesus is costly. We may be misunderstood. We may be pressured to conform to the thinking of this world. We may be ridiculed and rejected, and at times even persecuted, which is why it is perhaps so difficult to find a man or a woman who is completely devoted to him. And devotion to God, devotion to Christ, devotion to the gospel, devotion to the truth, these are the things that the Apostle Paul brings before the people in the church, in the city of Corinth, in the first six verses of 2 Corinthians chapter 11. So we might be wise if we pay attention to his words because he brings these words to us as well. And so he says in verse 1, devotion to the Lord requires us to distinguish between those who are truly following him and those who want us to follow them. And so he says in verse 1, I wish that you would bear with me. An echo in Greek. I want you to tolerate my attempt to differentiate myself from those who are leading you astray as I defend myself, yes, with a little foolishness, as I parade my credentials before you. Perhaps this reminds us a little bit of Proverbs 26:5, where it says that those attempt to answer people with foolishness. They do that because they are addressing people who are acting like fools. I think Paul felt that he was addressing fools at that point. Because, you know, the reality is that only God can approve. Only he can approve a man or a woman as his servant. But Paul says, indeed, you are already bearing with me. And he says, I do this for this reason. Verse 2, it's because I'm jealous for you. I am jealous with the jealousy of God. Zelos in Greek. Our God is passionate in his desire that we are devoted to him above all else. And the error that was leading the people in the church in Corinth away from God by those false teachers who had come there manifested itself in Paul as righteous indignation. Let's be clear. Paul was angry. He was angry that the name of God was not being lifted up since those false teachers were diminishing the value of the work of Paul, who was acting on behalf of the one true God. Interesting thought, isn't it? By the Spirit of God, through the Word of God, we must discern who truly represents God. Because as it says in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 24, our God is a consuming fire who demands the honor that is due his name. And when we diminish his honor in any way, by not giving him the honor that he deserves, by not giving him the devotion that he deserves, we invite his chastening to come upon us. And it was painful for Paul to see that God was being dishonored by a lack of devotion to him among the people in the church in Corinth as they diminished the value of those who truly represented him. I wonder, do we feel that kind of pain when we see the true servants of God dragged through the mud? Because you know, they're dragging Christ through the mud as well. And so in verse 2, Paul drives home this point. He drives home his concern for the people in the church in Corinth and their lack of devotion to Christ by using a picture of a Jewish betrothal, which is like an engagement. And he uses the picture of a marriage ceremony, which followed it. And he uses these things to illustrate his point. The betrothal of a couple usually lasted for about a year. And during that time, there was no physical relationship between that couple. but they were expected to remain faithful to one another during that time. And the betrothal was a legal, a binding contract that could only be broken by death or if there was unfaithfulness during that time. Because unfaithfulness was considered to be adultery, even in a betrothal. So in the same way, Paul says, I betrothed you to one husband at the time of our salvation. We pledged our devotion. We pledged our lives to Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And he expects us to remain faithful to him while we are here on this earth, so that, as Paul points out, when he returns to take us home to be with him forever, Paul says, then I want to be able to present you to him as a pure virgin, hagnas in Greek, as those who are truly set apart unto him and to him alone. But Paul says, verse 3, I'm afraid. Phobeo in Greek. I fear that you are in great danger in the same way that Satan, who was disguised as a serpent, deceived Eve in the Garden of Eden. Exapatao in Greek. Eve thought that she had the right information about God. But the serpent convinced her that he had the right information. And so she began to doubt, didn't she? She began to doubt what she believed was true. Why? It says she did this because of his craftiness. Panorgia in Greek. He made a lie sound like the truth. Like many people today. Eve became confused about the truth, though up to that point, she was thinking clearly. So where was this battle taking place? Well, the battle was in her mind, wasn't it? The battle was in her heart before it was ever seen by her actions. I fear that you are just like Eve, Paul says. I fear that your minds are being led astray by the enemy who has blinded your minds through this false teaching that is being preached and proclaimed among you. The enemy is confusing you. You're being tossed around with thoughts that are full of error. These ravenous wolves who are among you are leading you astray. Thyro in Greek. They are corrupting you. They're spoiling you like rotten milk. They're taking you away from the simplicity. Haplates in Greek. From the singleness of mind. And from the purity, hagnates, from the freedom of contamination, from the freedom of guilt, from the stain of this world, they are infecting your minds. The heart of the Christian life is simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. And for all of us who belong to him, that is our primary assignment, isn't it? That we are to live for him. And so we must be careful. We must be careful what we allow into our minds, because the enemy of our soul is subtle, just like he was in the garden. And if we're not careful, he can make a lie sound like the truth. So Paul says, when one comes in among you and he preaches another Jesus with an inaccurate understanding of who Jesus really is, and who is he? He is God in the flesh, nothing less. But they distort who he is, and they distort what he has done for us. He saved our soul by his death on the cross, by taking our sin upon himself, but they distort that truth. And so we must ask ourselves this question. Are they preaching about Jesus the way that he has been presented in the Bible? Or are they preaching another Jesus, whom we have not preached, Paul says? Or he adds in verse 4, are you receiving a different spirit, which you did not receive at the time of your salvation? Are you listening to a demonic spirit instead of listening to the Holy Spirit as he has revealed the truth in the Word of God? Those false teachers were twisting the truth with their doctrines of demons. They were presenting a different gospel which cannot save your soul, which you did not accept at the time of your salvation. Oh, how easy it is to get off track, isn't it? So, ask yourselves, are they adding to the Word of God? Are they taking away from the Word of God? Are they distorting the simplicity and the purity of Christ? I fear that many today are like fish who are being lured away from the truth. But you, Paul says, you bear with these lies. You tolerate this false teaching. How? He says in verse 4, beautifully, willingly, without even questioning it. You don't skip a beat. It's like those in the churches today, like many people who cry for unity, but who abandon the truth of the Bible and leave it by the wayside. For though, Paul says, verse 5, I am the least among the true apostles of Christ, I consider myself not to be the least, inferior to the most eminent of these false apostles. And even if I am unskilled in speech, as they claim, even if I am not eloquent, yet, Paul says, I am not lacking in knowledge. I'm not lacking in the understanding of the truth. In fact, he says, in every way, we have made this knowledge evident and available to you in all things. You'll recall what Paul said in Acts chapter 20, verse 27. He said, I have not restrained my lips. I did not hesitate for a moment to bring the truth to you concerning every word that God has spoken to me. I have left out nothing, but I have brought you an accurate report in simplicity and in purity in Christ Jesus our Lord. Well, that's what Paul did. But now it's our turn, isn't it? It's our turn to stand for Christ in simplicity and in purity. May that be said of us as well when we stand before him.
You've been listening to Bruce David Bell, pastor of Berean Bible Fellowship. If the Lord has ministered to you through this message and you would like more information, then visit us on the web at bbfva.org.